Good afternoon. My name is Aaron Chakowski. I'm a senior program manager with the Enterprise Client Management team at Microsoft. I'm the PM owner for MDT, as well as the Configuration Manager OS deployment feature. And also with me is
Michael Niehaus, senior product marketing manager for Microsoft and MDT alumni.
Exactly. So we're here today to talk about MDT, and we'll spend most of the time talking about 2012 Update 1. I'll be doing the talking through the slides real quick, but really we'll be spending most, or actually Michael, I should say, will be spending most of the time doing demos. So it'll be a lot of demos, actually going through the functionality and showing you that. And then at the end, we'll take a couple minutes and look at a couple of things that we're looking at for the next release. So Update 1 was released last year in August. And really the big theme around that release was support for Windows 8. So Windows 8, Windows Server 2012, as well as the associated version of Config Manager. And that's, you know, that's touching across all three of the components: LTI, light touch installation, ZTI, zero touch installation, and UDI, user driven installation. Update 1, again, it's all three of those things. So regardless of which one you're using, or if you're using all three, there's some new functionality and some new features in Update 1 for each of those areas. As always, the upgrade process is very simple and very easy, and that'll hopefully always continue. And again, kind of the major themes is support for the Windows 8 release, and focused on that and focused on those new capabilities. And ultimately also trying to make deployments easier. If you're doing deployments today, you know at times they can be a challenge. And hopefully MDT can help with that. So let's talk about LTI first. So with light touch installation, again, the focus being on supporting the Windows 8 release. With that comes the Windows 8 ADK, the assessment and deployment tool, assessment and deployment kit. So, you know, we have new support for installing roles and features that are specific to the new platform. There's even a little bit of a new UI there, and Michael will show that. With the new ADK comes a new version of Windows PE, and there's some new functionality there, especially the ability to add the optional components for .NET and PowerShell. So that's a great new add with the new version of Windows PE to provide that capability in Windows PE. Also is the new BitLocker pre-provisioning functionality, and I think Michael will demo this as well, or at least, you know, touch on it. And really this is to help accelerate BitLocker. So it can take the time to encrypt a drive from hours down to just a few minutes. So that process is sped up significantly. From an integration standpoint, a couple things to highlight here. One in particular is DART, the Diagnostic and Recovery Toolkit. It's part of the MDOT suite, which is the Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack. DART adds a bunch of great tools for administrators to use in troubleshooting from Windows PE. And one of the great pieces of this that I think Michael will be demoing is the ability to do a remote control of a Windows PE session. So if you get a call from a user that is stuck in a deployment, you don't have to walk over to their desk to actually lay hands on the Windows PE session. You can just remote into it and do everything you need to do remotely. So that's a great add. The Security Compliance Manager is another solution accelerator. We're integrating that to provide the GPO packs. So they have this prescriptive guidance for security baselines for different versions of Windows. We're consuming that content and redistributing it with MDT so that as part of the task sequence, you can lay down these GPO baselines as a known secure baseline. Another one to note here is PowerShell. Not to be confused with the PowerShell optional component you can add to Windows PE, this is the ability to run PowerShell natively as part of the task sequence. And what I mean by that is, you know, the ability to use the MDT environment, so the logging capabilities and the environment variables and all that rich goodness as part of PowerShell. Now, the WSFs that we all know and love are still there, So you can just, this gives you the ability to add in your own PowerShell scripts. And then some new functionality that comes with Windows 8, the ability to do UEFI. There's a bunch of sessions this week that talk more about UEFI. It's a newer version for BIOS of a system. And then with USMT, we get the ability to do offline state capture, which is great to add that in during Windows PE phase. To provide some better consistency with how System Center Configuration Manager handles deployments, some of the UI in the wizards is a little more consistent and streamlined there. There's a new monitoring capability that Michael will demo to be able to monitor your task sequences from a remote console. And then in addition, as with any release, there's a lot of other stuff that's included that we're not going to enumerate specifically. There's a few listed on the screen here. But, some bug fixes and other things that, some specific customers have hit or we've seen in our testing. So there's a bunch of other things there. This is just kind of the highlights. With that, hand it over to Michael for a demo.
Two, great.
Eight. So let's start off looking at Light Touch, and hopefully everyone can see that, because that is a gigantic screen. In this case, we'll start off inside of Windows PE, looking at the new deployment wizard. This is the new look and feel that we're shooting for throughout the deployment wizards. Before we actually start a deployment, though, we want to look at some of the new integrations that we put in. One, we've added support for Windows RE, so we can launch the Windows Recovery Environment wizard to recover an OS directly from the initial menu. And we've also integrated the Dart tools. So if you have Dart installed on your MDT machine, MDT will find the Dart components and it'll automatically add them to Windows PE. You may need to copy some CAB files around so that MDT can find them if you don't have it actually installed on the same machine. If we click to run the Dart tools at this point, you'll see the full list of the Dart tools that are available. There are things like a File Explorer, in case you don't like navigating through a file system using a command prompt. It gives you more of an explorer-type experience where you can use it for troubleshooting and a variety of other things. There is some disk utilities, crash analyzers, TCP/IP utilities, search tools. So just a variety of diagnostic-related tools that you can use to troubleshoot problems. That doesn't mean that they're necessarily directly tied into the deployment process themselves, but they're at least easily accessible from the same boot images that MDT generates for you. So you can carry around your deployment USB stick or CD and use it not only for deployment, but also for launching these tools for troubleshooting. Where we actually integrate this into the deployment process, though, is as part of the execution, we'll launch the Dart remote control agent. It's one of the things that was added in Dart 7. That's also present in Dart 8, is once we start this deployment wizard, you'll see a little window minimized down at the bottom left-hand corner. This is the Dart remote control agent. If we maximize that, if I can actually click on it, we can see that it's listening for connections. So this runs inside of Windows PE and allows the Dart viewer to make a connection into Windows PE. Now, normally you would have to type in those details in order to make a connection. You need to put in the ticket number, the IP address, and the port. But by integrating this with the MDT monitoring solution, we can gather that information from Windows PE and pass it along into the deployment workbench so that we can just click to connect. So we'll look at that in a little bit. For right now, we'll just minimize that back out of the way and continue our way through the wizard. Now, in this case, this is my kind of test slash demo environment. So I have quite a few task sequences set up pretty much for every modern operating system that we support, everything from Windows XP on up through Windows 8. As we talked before, Windows 8.1 will come with the next version of MDT that we'll look at toward the end of the session. So in this case, let me choose Windows 8 Enterprise x64. And you can see in the wizard details, as we make selections, the list of wizard panes actually changes. So we display the complete list of questions that you'll have to answer. Initially, there were only a few screens, but since I chose a task sequence that's actually deploying an OS, we now see that there are a few more. There are also some hyperlinks on these, so if you wanted to navigate back to a previous screen, you don't have to necessarily click the back button. You can actually just click on the hyperlinked pane, and it will take you back to that previous screen. In the case of an offline operating system, so if this machine has an OS on the disk, we can actually detect that even though we booted into Windows PE. We look at the file system, we see that there's an operating system there. We can then give you an option to migrate that data into the new operating system that you're deploying. So now if you want to do more of the refresh style process, but you always want to initiate the process via Pixi, you can do that. So rather than running lighttouch.bbs from within the existing operating system, you can just Pixi boot and start the process there. The advantage of doing offline USMT, there are no files locked. So it's very easy to make sure that the user's not getting in the way at that point, that there are no apps running, there are no locked files to worry about. So we can say that we want to move the user data and settings from that existing OS. If we happen to say, no, we didn't want to do that, then we would get another question asked. Because if we're not going to move the data from the existing OS that's sitting on the system, well, maybe we want to move data from another computer that was backed up to a network share. So we ask specifically, well, where is that data that you might want to restore? In this case, I'll just say, go ahead and move it. And we can set some of the other typical things with language settings, time zones, locales. We've tried to take some of the multiple wizard panes that existed in the previous release and merge them together so that there aren't nearly as many of these wizard panes this time around. We can choose from applications that we want to install. We can specify whether we want to capture an image. We can enable BitLocker. Just your standard deployment questions at this point. Since we are using the ADK as part of this, if we were to choose the option to enable BitLocker, it will enable BitLocker in Windows PE immediately after formatting and partitioning the disk, encrypting only the used space. At that point, there really is no used space. There's just an empty file system, so the encryption takes just a few seconds. We can then deploy the operating system into that already encrypted disk. The operating system gets encrypted on the fly, so at the end of the process, all we had to do is add protectors to BitLocker, and now you're fully secured. It adds a little bit of overhead because of the on-the-fly encryption from BitLocker, but it's not like it was before, where at the end of the process, you turn on BitLocker, and your machine's basically unusable for 2 hours while it encrypts everything. Now it's just a little bit of extra overhead as it's going through and installing the OS. At that point, we could begin the deployment. So I'll go ahead and click on Begin, and then we'll switch over to the server side and look at some things over there. So on my deployment machine, if I go into the deployment workbench, I can go to the monitoring node. And if it were working, I would be able to see the current deployment status. There it is. So from that, I just need to select the computer that I want to monitor. It's easy enough to tell because it's the one that I started 30 seconds ago. If I double-click on that computer, there's a button here to establish a Dart remote control session. If I click on that, it will launch the Dart remote viewer and make a connection to the machine. So putting in those three pieces of information that we looked at on the screen before, the ticket number, the IP address, and the port number. At this point, we have an RDP session to the Windows PE environment where we can actually interact with the environment and do whatever additional troubleshooting we might want to do. So fairly easy to integrate that in, fairly easy to make that remote control connection. There would also be other buttons here depending on the type of machine and where it's at in the process. So in this case, the remote desktop button's enabled because we don't really know if there's a full operating system running yet, but if there happened to be one, then you can make an RDP connection into the full OS. There would be another button in the middle if we detected that the machine was a virtual machine, and then we could run VM Connect, the Hyper-V connection viewer, to make a connection to the VM. In this case, because it's still in Windows PE and there are no full integration components for Hyper-V inside of Windows PE, we can't see that it's in Hyper-V yet, but as soon as it gets into the full OS, then we could see it and we could enable it. Johan's smiling because there are some blog postings out there that explain how to actually make that work inside of Windows PE. So search around for his blog, for Michael Nystrom's blog, and it'll tell you how to enable those components in Windows PE so that we can enable that particular option sooner. So that'll continue to progress as the deployment goes through. It'll actually sit at this point for quite a while. So this progress bar is actually showing you percentage complete based on the number of steps. So it frequently gets to about the 50% mark very quickly and then will sit there for a while it's installing the operating system. That part takes longer. But after it gets through that, then it will begin to zip through the rest of the process. So the goal with the monitoring is we can just see at a glance here all the machines that are being deployed in our environment. Here's the progress that they're making. Did they succeed? Did they fail? Do we need to look at them in any further detail to figure out what happened? On the ADK integration side, if we look at the properties of our deployment share, for Windows PE, there are a bunch of features that are available. This list has grown quite a bit in the ADK to add things like .NET Framework, to add PowerShell, and to add a bunch of PowerShell commandlets. So just by checking the boxes here, we can add those components into Windows PE. We also have kind of a pseudo component down here for Dart. It's not really a Windows PE component, but we treat it like one. So we can just check the box here to add the Dart pieces into Windows PE. So fairly easy to add those in. And with the release of MDT 2012 Update 1, we work properly with PowerShell inside of Windows PE as well as inside of the full OS so that you can run PowerShell throughout the process. Okay, so we've got that. We also have some new supported operating systems here. So you can see some new OSs that you may not recognize here. PosReady 7 is for point-of-sale systems. And Windows Thin PC is a thin client OS that's used to connect into a terminal server farm or something like that. These are basically the only volume license OSs that were available from Microsoft that MDT didn't support. So we added support for those in just so that we have complete coverage of all the VL-enabled OSs. We have support inside of the task sequence for BitLocker pre-provisioning. If we look at one of these task sequences, we can see inside of the pre-install phase, there is a step here to enable BitLocker offline. So it just runs a script that turns on BitLocker within Windows PE. There is a requirement that the machine have a TPM chip in order to do this. So if the machine doesn't have TPM, this step will just quietly continue on. But for any machine where you want to enable BitLocker and it has TPM, it'll flip the switch to turn on BitLocker at that point so that by the time you apply the OS, everything gets fully encrypted. We've also added steps later in the task sequence here to apply a local GPO package. Those are those security compliance manager GPO packs they're basically security guidelines that were built by Microsoft in combination with the Department of Defense, CIA, and other government agencies to say, here's how Windows should be appropriately secured. We'll apply those for most OSs. Now, MDT 2012 Update 1 actually released before Windows 8, so there's actually not a GPO pack for Windows 8 inside of MDT, but you can download SCM, install it, export the Windows 8 GPO pack, and drop it in so that you can get that with Windows 8 as well. If you happen to be using NAS devices for deployment shares, these GPO packs may interfere with those NAS devices, making a connection to them because the security settings in that GPO pack say to not allow clear text passwords, don't allow unencrypted communication. And some of those cheaper NAS devices don't offer those capabilities. So if you wonder why after that GPO pack gets applied, you can't connect to the NAS device anymore, that's probably what's going on. So you could turn that step off, or you could go back to SCM and change that setting to allow those more unsecured options, or you can just replace the NAS device with something that does provide the appropriate level of security. We can add steps in here to run our own custom PowerShell script. So we've got an option here to run a PowerShell script. We could add that into the task sequence, put in the name of the PowerShell script and any parameters that we would want to specify. So that option is available. And we could also add in roles and features if we wanted to. So we could add a step here to say that we want to install roles and features and then choose the operating system that we're deploying, in this case Windows 8, and then select the actual features that we want to install. Maybe we want to install .NET 3.5, .NET 4.5, Active Directory, whatever it happens to be that we want to add into here. We would then build the necessary commands to install these features, which varies based on the operating system that we're deploying. If we're deploying Windows 8, we're going to run PowerShell. If we're deploying Windows 7, in some cases, it's going to run dism.exe. If we're deploying whatever OS, it figures out what commands it needs to run and does the right thing, so you don't have to worry so much about it. If you've deployed Windows 8 and tried to add in .NET 3.5, that's a real headache. We've tried to take care of that in MDT. We'll automatically reference the full source files, the directory containing the sources SXS folder that contains the .NET 3.5 files, so that DISM can automatically load those files over the network. If you don't do something like that, Windows tries to go out to Windows Update and download those pieces, and if you don't have an internet connection or if you don't have the proxy settings at that point in time, that process fails and .NET can't be installed. So we've tried to simplify that as much as we could. We've also added the ability to provision Windows 8 apps. So by specifying an app command line with the name of a .appx file, which is the new Windows Store app file packaging format, we would know that this is a new Windows Store app, and it needs to be provisioned on the operating system by running the appropriate DISM commands. Now, if you've listened to my sessions before on line-of-business app deployments, provisioning versus installation is an important concept. I'll go through that more, I think, tomorrow morning. But basically, by doing that, we can put an app into the image so that when that image is deployed, it automatically installs for every user on the machine. So that's an option for you if you want to put Windows Store apps into your image. What else do we do? Deploy to VHD. We've added a new task sequence template that will deploy Windows into a VHD file instead of directly to the disk. In this case, we would format and partition the disk, then create a VHD file, an empty VHD file on that disk, then apply the operating system to that VHD file. Then we can set it up to boot from that VHD file. With MDT 2012 Update 1, we've changed this task sequence so you can actually do that non-destructively. So maybe you have Windows 7 on your existing machine. You want to try out Windows 8. You can do a VHD deployment of Windows 8 and be able to boot back and forth between Windows 7 and Windows 8. Windows 7 running from the hard drive, Windows 8 running from the VHD. Or if you wanted to, you could set up multiple VHD files and be able to boot between them. You just have multiple BCD entries, one for each of the VHDs, and be able to switch back and forth. Personally, I still prefer VMs because they're more flexible, but using boot from VHD is an option for some scenarios. On the PowerShell side, got a couple of samples out here. Just a simple single-step task sequence where I can run a PowerShell script, in this case, demo.ps1. Let me open up a command prompt here. Where I can run lighttouch.bbs. I can choose that task sequence that contains a single step, just to show you what it would look like when I'm running a PowerShell script. There's not really anything special about this PowerShell script. It just shows the types of things that we can do in PowerShell. So I'll scroll down, choose that one, say next, and start it off. Now this will run a script where this script does a few things. It dumps out all the task sequence variables. Basically, that's one line of PowerShell. It will then loop counting from 1 to 100 and display progress, just to show that you can do those types of things in PowerShell. So we can see the progress bar going by as our script does some type of long-running operation. So we can do those types of things in these PowerShell scripts. And just give you an idea of what this PowerShell looks like, let's pull that script up. There's not a whole lot to it. It's a very simple demo. It writes out message hello world, which gets put into the standard bdd.log. It gets a list of the PowerShell modules and drives that are currently loaded. It does a directory of all the task sequence environment variables, as well as all of the list variables. So all of those application 001, 002, 003 things, rather than treating those as individual variables, it can turn them into PowerShell arrays, which makes them easier to deal with. It then will automatically capture any progress that's being written by PowerShell. And just to make sure that we get all of the working directory and path things right, we can refer to relative content. So we wanted to make sure that when we run this PowerShell script, if it tries to load something else, it can find it in the same directory. So not a whole lot to that, but we can run that. It already finished. We can then find the log file. Windows temp deployment logs. We'll get a file named the same as the actual PowerShell script itself, where we can see what it did. So it dumped out a list of modules, it dumped out a list of environment variables, and then you can start to see all the task sequence variables. Things like the architecture of the machine, the default gateway, the IP addresses, the name of the deployment server, the make of the machine, the model, the amount of RAM, all of the typical details that are gathered by ZTI Gather, each are set as task sequence variables. So we can scroll through this fairly easily and see them. You can see that a few of them, like user ID and password, are actually obfuscated, so we see the base64 versions of them rather than the clear text versions. But these are the types of things that are gathered as part of the MDT process. We can also see a few new ones here. We added support for Hyper-V's integration components that we talked about before, so we can actually tell that we're running in a VM on top of a server whose name is bddev3.redmond.corp.microsoft.com, which happens to be a workstation back in my office in Redmond. We know the name of the VM, which happens to be the exact same name as the computer here. And we know that we're running Hyper-V. So we've added logic to be able to detect Hyper-V, VMware, Xen, every virtualization platform that we could come up with logic to be able to detect it through whatever WMI queries were available. So all that's available, fairly easy to do. The arrays that we talked about before, we've got an array of default gateways, an array of IP addresses, an array of MAC addresses. So just makes it easier to do PowerShell scripting with that stuff. We also added in another step to execute an orchestrator runbook. So imagine having a task sequence that needs to do something to get external data or needs to do some sort of external processing. We can insert a step into the task sequence that runs an orchestrator runbook. It goes off, executes that runbook, waits for it to finish. The runbook returns data back to the task sequence, and it continues on from there. Maybe it's something as simple as you want Orchestrator to give you the name that should be assigned to the computer or give you the list of applications that should be installed. That can all be done server-side, running inside of this Orchestrator environment, and then the results are returned back to the task sequence for it to take advantage of that. I hope this is actually working because I didn't actually check to see if my Orchestrator server was up and running, but nothing like now to figure out whether it's working or not. So we'll run lighttouch.vbs again. We'll choose that other task sequence, and as long as my orchestrator server is actually up and running, which I suppose I could check on here, it should be able to execute that runbook. So the server's there. I did this at one conference. I don't remember which one it was, and my license had expired. So the orchestrator runbook allowed you to submit execution requests, but then it just never ran them. So it just sat there forever and eventually timed out. So we'll choose my orchestrator demo task sequence, which just has a single step. It will talk to orchestrator via a web service, and then it'll sit there and wait for the runbook to complete. Hopefully that completes fairly quickly. If it doesn't complete in a few seconds, well, then there's probably something going on my server that's preventing that from working. We can actually follow the progress along. All of that ends up getting logged. So if we go to MiniNT, SMSOSD, OSD logs, GTI execute runbook, we can see what it's up to. So far, it's waiting for orchestrator to respond back. So it may be that my orchestrator services aren't actually running right now, and it's going to time out soon. So we won't sit around and wait for it, but eventually it will manage to submit that. So, it gave up. So it got an internal server error back from my orchestrator machine. So something's not healthy with the orchestrator web service right now. And we won't worry about that because we have lots of other stuff that we want to show. Now, from a UEFI perspective, we talked about MDT adding support for UEFI. And you don't really see any obvious signs of that in the task sequence. So if we look at this Windows 8 task sequence, we still see that there is a single step to format and partition the disk, which is right in here. That step says to create an MBR disk using 100% of the disk space and to go ahead and create an extra active partition. But behind the scenes, MDT knows that if it sees that this is a UEFI computer, instead of creating the typical two partitions, it has to create four partitions. It has to create the disk as a GPT disk. It creates the four partitions with a BAT32 boot partition and an NTFS OS partition. It needs a WinRE tools partition in order to support BitLocker, and it creates an MSR partition, which who knows what it does, but it's required in the ADK documentation. So, okay, we'll create one of those too. So it will do that automatically if you use the default configuration here. If you wanted to do a custom disk configuration, then you had to do a little bit more work to put in your own structure that includes at least those four partitions and then can add whatever additional partitions you want on top of that. So we've tried to make UEFI as easy as possible. The main thing to realize is that as you're doing UEFI deployments, make sure you're using FAT32 formatted media because UEFI computers can't boot from FAT32 or from non-FAT32 media. There's also no ability to do cross-platform stuff. So if you're attempting to use an x86 boot image to deploy an x64 OS using UEFI, it's never going to work. You have to use an x64 boot image in order to deploy an x64 OS to any UEFI native system. So some things to keep in mind. I've got more discussions on that later in the week if you come to the what's new in Windows 8 8.1 deployment. So I think that's it for LTI. Let's switch back over and talk about what's next.
ZTI. You're going to see a lot of the same things here. Support for Windows 8. A lot of the same functionality. So you're going to see this across a lot of these different sections as we talk about LTI to ZTI to UDI. We're supporting Windows 8. We're supporting that new functionality. We're supporting BitLocker pre-provisioning. We're supporting UEFI. And I think exactly the same list of integrations, just with the config manager twist on things. Still doing offline state capture in Windows PE with the new version of USMT. The monitoring capability with MDT is still there. The caveat there is that the monitoring here is only for MDT steps in your task sequence. It can't monitor the config manager steps. And it's because the steps themselves are what are reporting back to the web service. Now, keep in mind, with Config Manager, you can use status messaging to monitor the end-to-end process. So you do have that monitoring capability available. If you haven't upgraded to Config Manager 2012 yet, we still have support with MDT 2012 Update 1 for Configuration Manager 2007. And again, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes improvements. The one in particular to call out here is that the template for UDI and ZDI and ZTI are now combined into one. So there's often a lot of questions. Hey, how do I create a UDI task sequence? I don't see that option. As you go through the wizard to create a task sequence, one of the options there will be to set it for user-driven installation. Underneath the hood, then, that is setting a variable that is used as a condition for a bunch of the steps. So it's just important to note that's a combined template now. And with that, let's take a look at that.
Okay. Where am I again?
Eight.
Just trying to fix my orchestrator server. We'll see if I succeeded in that or not. We'll come back to that one in a minute. On the ZTI side, let me get into Configuration Manager.
Hey, more errors.
Did it work? Yeah, I think I probably got just as many errors here. Yep, we'll come back to that one. So on the Config Manager side,
give you more time to troubleshoot.
We have the integration in place for MDT. So we ran the Config Manager integration wizard, and what that ends up doing is three things, basically. It adds a wizard here to create an MDT task sequence. It adds a wizard for boot images to create a boot image using MDT. And if we look at a task sequence, that one's not a good example. Let's look at one of the main task sequences. We can edit that, and we'll see that there are additional task sequence actions added here as well. So all of those are added as part of the integration with MDT and Config Manager. So what you would typically do is you would install Config Manager, you get it up and running, you make sure that it works. Then add MDT, you can integrate that into the console and into your site server. Then you can create an MDT task sequence. We have a few templates available for doing that. Like we just talked about, there is no separate ZTI and UDI task sequence template anymore. We just want to choose the client task sequence. And we can give it a name. Let's call it demo. We can specify to join a work group or a domain. We have to specify an org name. Forget that I missed an M. It's close enough. We need to specify a boot image, or we can tell it to create a new one. In this case, I'll use an existing one because creating boot images takes a while. We need a package containing all the MDT scripts and executables. I've created one of those already from a previous execution, but we could just as easily create a new one just by saying, well, where do you want to put it? We can use OS images or OS install packages. Now, with Config Manager 2012 SP1, the preference is to use an existing OS image for everything. So always use a WIM file. Don't use the full set of setup files, because the challenge that you had before is that would end up with Windows running from /Windows, but they've taken care of that problem. So now we don't need to worry so much about OS install packages. We'll focus on OS images. That doesn't mean that MDT handles this quite perfectly, as I'm sure some of the people in the room have realized, that there may be a tweak necessary to the task sequence to get it so that the operating system ends up running from the drive letter that you expect. We'll look at that in a sec. Here's the new choice that we have to specify either a zero-touch installation deployment where we have no wizard, or a user-driven installation task sequence where we do. So one simple choice gets you a wizard or doesn't get you a wizard. We'll look in a minute at what that actually does. We then need the Config Manager client, because that gets installed as part of the task sequence. We need the user state migration tool package, because that gets run by the task sequence. And we need a settings package that contains the MDT custom settings.ini, as well as the unattend.xml that will be used with the OS. At that point, it creates the task sequence. It creates whatever packages may have needed to be created. and all you need to do are deploy the bits and create a deployment for that particular task sequence. I've already got a variety of task sequences there, so we don't really need to deploy that one. Let's look at one of the existing ones just to show you the changes that are in MDT 2012 Update 1. First, we added support for UEFI. So Config Manager 2012 SP1 added UEFI support, and in order for MDT to support that on top of Config Manager SP1, we needed to add some additional format and partition disk steps. We've got a few that run initially at the beginning of the process, but the real format and partition disk steps are a little bit farther down. So we have one that runs for UEFI systems that creates the recommended four partition structure. If we look at the options on that, we have a check that says, does underscore SMSTS boot UEFI equal to true? That's what actually indicates this is a UEFI computer. So if that's true, then we want to create the four partition structure. This would only be supported with Windows 7 and Windows 8. You can't do UEFI with older operating systems. Probably don't want to anyway. In the case of older OSs, or really even Windows 7, Windows 8, if you're using a non-UEFI computer, we have conditions on this as well. So if boot UEFI is not equal to true, and we're deploying Windows 7 or 8, then we want to create a 499 meg boot partition and use the rest for the disk. If we're deploying Windows Vista, 2 gig boot partition and then the rest of the disk. If we're deploying XP, just one big partition. So we have conditions in place that look at the operating system that we're deploying and use that to figure out how to partition the disk. That's actually triggered by a couple of variables that are earlier in the task sequence because we don't really know at that point what version of the OS is being deployed, so we had to put a variable in the task sequence to tell it. So we'll set a variable in this case to 6.2 to indicate that we're deploying Windows 8. Behind the scenes, Windows 8 is version 6.2, so that's where that logic comes from. Windows 8.1, 6.3. So in case you're curious, we've also got a variable here for the wizard. So that question that was asked during the wizard, do you want UDI, do you want ZTI? All that does is set this to yes or no. So if skip wizard is equal to yes, we get a ZTI deployment. If skip wizard is equal to no, then we get a UDI deployment. So easy enough to do that. What else? We have added additional steps to install applications. So one of the big changes in Config Manager 2012 is support for the new application model. So instead of installing packages and programs using the install software step, we install applications using the new app model. There's just one little gotcha for MDT. It treats lists of things as three-digit numbers, and in this case, it's actually a two-digit suffix. So we actually have a script added in here that takes the application 001, 002, et cetera, variables and changes them over to coalesced apps with a two-digit suffix so that we can then feed that into the install application step for Config Manager to install those. So we'll take care of those details for you. We've got a step in the pre-install phase to pre-provision BitLocker. That's built-in functionality in Config Manager. We just added into the task sequence. We have a step to run USMT offline. So there's a group here that will run USMT offline if you so choose. That is conditional, so if you wanted that to run, you would have to set USMT offline migration equal to true in custom settings.ini, and then we'll know to run USMT offline instead of online. So no changes needed in the task sequence. You just set variables to indicate what should run when. We fixed a couple of problems that you may have run into if you've ever deployed server OSs. We won't look at that one just to save a little bit of time, but we'd never asked before what image index you wanted. So if you used a WIM file that had multiple image indexes, and, well, it's always going to choose image 1. So if you wanted to deploy image 3, you'd have to go back into the task sequence and edit the task sequence to change it from 1 to 3. That was never that bad of a problem, but we did fix it for kind of a different problem. We found that people were taking their x86 images and their x64 images and combining them together into a single WIM file, because you do actually save a little bit of space in the process of doing that. And when MDT would create the task sequence and you'd pick, well, you wouldn't pick image one, but your intention was to deploy image two, and they were different architectures, you'd end up with an unattend file that wouldn't work after you would change from index one to index two. So now we can fix that just by choosing the index as part of the wizard, and we'll fix that up for you. We have the same monitoring hooks in Config Manager as we do in LightTouch. As Aaron mentioned before, it only works for the MDT steps, so you kind of get a fractured picture of the deployment as it goes through, but at least we can monitor some as it's going along. We've integrated Dart into the boot images the same way that we did with LightTouch, so we can get the remote control as well as the Dart tools. And we've added the same orchestrator and PowerShell steps. So if we wanted to, we could add steps into this task sequence. Doesn't really matter where we put this, where we could say that we want to add a step to run a PowerShell script and put in the details for that. Or we could add a step to run an orchestrator runbook, where we could specify the name of the orchestrator server and then browse to choose an actual runbook. I'm not sure that the web services are really that healthy, so this might just hang the console, but that's okay. We're just about done with it anyway. Maybe. Will we get a list? Won't we get a list? The server rebooted because it needed to install patches. Apparently, when it came back up, some of the services timed out. I think I fixed the orchestrator web service, but I didn't fix the SQL service. So I think it's still dead, but you get the idea. You would select a runbook. It would show you any runbook parameters, any inputs that runbook wanted, and provide a way to pass those values from the task sequence into the runbook, and then any output parameters would get passed back to the task sequence. Now, on the client side, if we switch over to a client machine, standard Config Manager boot image here, we generate it with MDT. We can tell just by looking at the default background bitmap here. Hopefully, we can get some policy for the task sequences that are available and kick off a ZTI deployment. Thinking hard. There we go. So let's choose ZTI Windows 8 Enterprise X64. And now it's off and running. So the first thing that it would generally do is download the toolkit package. We've added logic in update one to make sure we do that as few times as possible, because that does add some extra time into the deployment. Once that's done, it will then see that Dart is present in the boot image, and it'll launch the Dart remote control agent. So at that point, we would be able to remote control into Config Manager as well. And we would also get the monitoring pieces kicking in at that point. So as it processes custom settings, it sees that it's supposed to be doing the monitoring, and then it starts sending events off to the server for that. So we'll give it a second here just to see that happen. That's one of those bugs that I hope gets fixed in MDT 2013. There is a meaningless 60-second delay in that script, and I have no idea why it's in there, but I want to take it out because it slows down the process unnecessarily.
I think I know a guy who could help you with that.
So as soon as that finishes, it'll continue to go. There it goes. So there's our remote control agent, and now we can make a connection using the same mechanism before. We can now see it's formatting and partitioning the disk. It knows that we're deploying Windows 8, so it knows it's not a UEFI system, so as a result, it's only going to create two partitions instead of four. I'm not sure if you've seen the Hyper-V discussions around Server 2012 R2 and Windows 8.1. They're actually adding UEFI support for Hyper-V. So now you'll be able to do your UEFI testing inside of virtual machines as well, which was always a headache before.
And just to be clear, in the context of ZTI, the remote control and the monitoring is only from the workbench, right? You can't.
Only from workbench, yeah. There's no integration directly into the Config Manager console. To see what was going on, we'd have to switch out of that console back into Deployment Workbench, hit refresh, and now we have five machines that are running. And let's see if we can figure out which one of these it is. From the timing, it's probably this last one. Oh, no, that was the orchestrator one that I ran. So I don't think it's reported any status in yet for the others. Either that or it's lost the ability to calculate time because those times obviously aren't right. We haven't been watching this for anywhere close to 2 hours.
Or a day.
Okay.
All right.
So
we've talked about LTI. We've talked about ZTI. So let's talk briefly about UDI. Again, you're going to see kind of the same theme here, right? We're adding support for Windows 8 and Windows 8 release. Key thing here, too, with UDI is the ability to add in Windows 8 applications. I think Michael will demo that as he gets into that. Another key thing here is with the designers, the ability to customize your own pages. So there's still a library of pages you can select from and build your UDI deployment. But you can now create, using the designer, your own pages. So you start with a blank slate. You can add elements as you want. And then tie those into task sequence variables in the background. So it gives you a lot of flexibility and a lot of extensibility with the UDI designer. And again, just to reiterate and stress this point, I think this is now the third time we'll be mentioning this, UDI and ZTI are a shared template. So just remember that. Let's take a look.
Okay. So let's start off on the client side this time and look at the UDI wizard. So this is a bare metal deployment with UDI turned on. We get a deployment wizard where you can customize all the text that's displayed. You can always choose which wizard panes are displayed and which ones aren't. In this case, I've left them all on. By default, we've said we want to enable BitLocker. I actually don't want to do that in my VM, so I'll turn that off. We can specify what image we want. In this case, I should have edited the edited the configuration file to say this was Windows 8, but it doesn't really matter. It's really just selecting an image index within the OS image package that we chose. We can choose what operating system, what disk to target. In this case, there's only one that's big enough to hold the OS. And we can specify whether we want to format or partition the disk or not. If there were an existing operating system in this VM, it would allow us to do the offline state capture from that OS. In this case, it hasn't been able to detect an existing OS, so it's telling us, well, you need to check the box to format and partition the disk before you can continue on to the next screen. Now, in this case, because we didn't have any local data to migrate, it asks us if there's anything that we want to restore from another computer. So if we wanted to, we could specify a USB drive that contains the data that we want to put into this OS, or we can point to a network share. So UDI has the ability to basically manage the user state on the network share by using the credentials of the person that's running the wizard to choose a storage location. So all you had to configure is a UNC path. It'll take care of putting it in a unique folder on the server, and then when the same person runs the deployment again on the new computer, it'll know to get that same information back. In this case, I'm just going to say there's no data to restore. We can run a variety of deployment readiness checks, whether these are scripts or executables or whatever. You can add your own custom ones into here as well, but we run scripts to make sure that the Windows scripting host is okay, that we are on a wired network, which is fairly obvious when we're in a Windows PE environment. We need to make sure that we're running on AC power, nothing worse than in the middle of the machine, you run out of battery and the machine turns off. We need to make sure that we can discover the apps that were previously installed so that we can pre-check them when we're choosing applications to install. So a variety of checks like that are hooked into the process. We can then populate things like the domain that we want to join and the OU that we want to put the computer in. We have drop-down lists for that. I only have one domain specified, but I can choose between a few different OUs that I pre-configured. I've pre-populated the joint account name, but would be insecure to pre-populate the password because that gets saved in clear text. So I'll type in the password that's needed to join with that account. I can specify the local administrator password. Any accounts that I want to add into the local administrators group. I can configure the user device affinity primary user. By default, it's going to be whatever user was used to basically to access the user data and also to join the domain. So in this case, it'll add the administrator as the primary user. We can choose the language and the time zone just like we could in LightTouch. And then here is where we could choose from optional applications that you may want to install as part of the task sequence. At that point, we get a summary showing us all of the choices that we made. We can click Finish, and the deployment takes off from there. So basically, same idea as LightTouch. We want to ask all the questions up front, get all the task sequence variables set based on the answers that you provide, and then let the whole process run without any further user interaction. Now, on the server side, let's look real quickly at the UDI designer. So we've got the UDI wizard designer, which allows you to configure that wizard to do things like populating the list of domains and OUs. So if we look in this config file, we should see that those options are already specified, I believe, on the new computer page. If we look under domains and OUs, there are the list of OUs that I had put in, as well as the fact that I wanted to join a domain. So you would go through and configure those options appropriately. For applications, we can specify folders. We can specify apps that we want to add. We can use the old style packages and programs. We can use the new style app model applications. And we can also specify Windows app packages. So if you're deploying Windows 8 and you want to install app packages, we can do that. But it's kind of a different scenario because if you remember the discussion, well, you can't remember it because it happens tomorrow morning. When we talk about deploying line of business apps, when you install line of business apps, they're installed per user. So if you were to install an app, a Windows Store app, as part of a task sequence, no one could ever run it because no one can ever log in as local system. So, and in this case, well, what does this end up doing? It ends up putting a tattoo in the registry, an entry saying that when the primary user logs on for the first time, install this app. So there would be a hook, a script that runs when the user logs on for the first time that then talks to the Config Manager web service that passes the ID of the app that needs to be installed to initiate that installation at first logon, rather than during the task sequence. So we can get the apps there for the primary user. We can dynamically select them as part of the UDI wizard, but we don't have to worry about them being installed incorrectly by the task sequence. So we can take care of that. Now let's look at the custom page. So let's say that we want to add our own page, and I had to remember exactly how to do this. So if we go over to the flow, we can say that we want to add a page to the page library, and we want to add a build your own page. So I'll call this one TechEd. The page is then there. We can double click it, and then we get a design experience where we can start to do creative things. Now that's my problem is dynamically doing creative things in front of hundreds of people doesn't work very well, so I'll create the ugliest page ever just by dragging some of these elements onto it. We can do radio buttons. We can do checkboxes. For each one of those, we can put the task sequence variable that should be set with the value that was chosen. So in the case of this text box, if we come over here and look at settings, we can say that the value that's typed in, maybe we want the default value to be yellow. Oh, we can't specify a default value for that one. In this case, we could specify that we want the value entered to be put into a task sequence variable name called server name. In this case, we could say that the text box should be used to set the task sequence variable name was checked. So for each one of these, you basically just say, here's the type of field that I want to create, whether it's a text box, radio button, or whatever. Here's the task sequence variable that I want to put the result in, and that's about it. So at that point, we just need to make sure that that page is added into the flow. So let me drag that to the beginning of my wizard. And now I want to preview that particular wizard to see what that looks like. It's not pretty, but you can do a little bit more work than what I did in front of hundreds of people by laying out the elements the way you want, to put in the fields that you want. It'll set the variables. You can then consume those variables as part of the task sequence. So easy enough to do. So I've proven that it works. I could then save that particular XML configuration file into my MDT toolkit package. It can then be picked up by the task sequence, and that pane would show up. So fairly easy to do, fairly powerful. So creating your own pages becomes kind of a doable option with the new UDI designer. I think that's it.
Great. All right. So now we're going to talk about the next version. So for those of you who either were at MMS or you watched the video afterwards, Jason and Michael, who did that session, mentioned that MDT 2013 is coming soon. It's still coming soon, but now we have a little more detail to share. It'll be available in preview later this month. So along the same lines of a lot of the other things you may have heard about already, this will be out in June. And this will be across all three components, LTI, ZTI, UDI, all the stuff you know and love. And really, the primary thing that we're doing with MDT 2013 is adding support for the Windows 8.1 release. So, Windows 8.1, Server 2012 R2, as well as the new release of Config Manager. Now, honestly, other than some additional behind-the-scenes improvements, that's the bulk of what's going to be in MDT 2013. Because of some transitions that occurred, the MDT tool moved from the Solution Accelerator team over to the Enterprise Client Management team. We had to make some investments internally to handle the transition and make sure we could sustain this. So really, the primary effort then was on the 8.1 release. So with that, I wanted to talk through kind of the differences then between 2012 Update 1 and MDT 2013. With 2012 Update 1, you could use either the Windows 7 AIK or the Windows 8 ADK. With MDT 2013, we made the decision that we're going to lock to the new 8.1 ADK. Now, with that, Windows provides deployment support for certain OSs dependent upon the version of the AIK or ADK that you're using. So because of that, with MDT 2013 and the Windows 8.1 ADK, we're only able to support deployment of Windows 7, Windows 8, and Windows 8.1. And with that, I mean that whole family. So it's not just the client OS. It'll also be the server versions and embedded versions that go with those platforms. Similarly, from a Config Manager standpoint, we'll also be locking to Config Manager 2012 R2 as the supported integration for ZTI with MDT 2013. Honestly, and this is probably the only time you'll ever hear someone say this, if you're not using, or if you're still using XP, you're still using Server 2008, you're still using Config Manager 2007, honestly, there's not a lot of incentive to upgrade. Again, probably the only time you'll hear someone actually say you may not want to upgrade, but I just want to be honest with you about that. The good news is that MDT 2012 Update 1 will continue to be supported. So even once MDT 2013 is released later this year, and that's as much as I'll tell you on that, MDT 2012 Update 1 will remain, and it'll be supported. So you can continue to use it, and you continue to get support. So if you're not already using MDT, you can go get it today. And once we release MDT 2013, you can still go to the download center and get MDT 2012 update 1, still free, still in the download center. If you want to know about the release of MDT 2013 preview, and you want to get access to the bits, you need to sign up on Connect. We recently changed our Connect site. If you are already signed up or you're on a bunch of the mailing lists, hopefully you saw that announcement that came out. The old site was retired, and the MDT Connect site is now up underneath the larger client management site, but there is a group specifically for MDT. So sign up there, make sure you're enrolled, you'll get the announcements when it's available, you can download the bits when it's available, and more importantly, most importantly, you'll be able to provide feedback. Feedback's very important. The feedback you provide via Connect actually goes right into our bug database, and we can't just dismiss a bug and forget about a bug, we have to take action on it. So it'll most likely mean a conversation with me, but you can look in Connect and you can see the feedback, and we can talk about the feedback. In some cases, the action that I take or our team takes might be, hey, it's a great idea, but we're not going to be able to do it now, and we'll postpone it for later. But you can still see that feedback, and you can still see the status of it. So I highly recommend that. As many of you may know, there are some other ways that you can participate in the deployment community. The MyIT Forum folks have got a bunch of mailing lists. There's specifically one for MDT and OSD. It's not quite as busy as some of the other ones, but there's still a fair number of messages a day. I know Michael's pretty active on it. I usually lurk on it, so you may not see many responses from me, but I am keeping an eye on what's going on there. The TechNet forums is another great way. A lot of our MVPs are pretty active there, and I do know a number of our devs and our test team are watching that. And finally, we're on Facebook. I think you're the guy for that, so you'll find a few posts on Facebook every now and then. It's not a lot of content, but it is does come up.
So why don't we take a couple of minutes and let's just take a peek at what MDT looks like
Sure. At
the moment, if I can figure out which machine I'm looking at here. So this is MDT 2013. It doesn't look any different than MDT 2012, except it is version 6.2 versus the previous release was 6.1, and we're currently up to build 5011, which is scary because when we initially started this, we started at 1, and we're now up to 5011, so you can tell how long we've been working on this. Inside of this, we are using the new ADK. If you come to my session, whenever it is later this week, where we talk about what's new in the Windows 8.1 deployment, you'll find out that there are no new features in Windows PE. There is one, but it's not really a optional component. It's just a change in behavior. So we'll talk about that later. But you won't see many differences at all as you're going through this. Mostly it's going to be bug fixes. Mostly it's going to be adding support for the new operating system. So with the new ADK, we can then do things like import Windows 8.1. We can then create a task sequence that deploys Windows 8.1, either directly or as part of a VHD. So no big changes that you would see there. Now on top of Configuration Manager 2012 R2, it's pretty much the same story, although you'll see some other things happening. Like if we were to look at task sequences here, I've created a few task sequences for Windows 8.1, UDI Windows 8.1. I've tried them all out. They all work reasonably well. If we were to look inside of the task sequence editor, you'll start to see some shifts where some of the functionality that was in MDT will slowly become part of the Config Manager product. That's kind of always been the intended long-term direction. We wanted to get from a lot of this being as part of MDT and continuing to be supported as part of MDT to instead shift into Config Manager itself. So you'll start to see things like a run PowerShell script action in Config Manager itself without MDT being involved. There is one to set dynamic variables, so some of the ZTI gather type functionality has been added directly into Config Manager. And we also have one for readiness checks. So you're starting to see some of the functionality being picked up from MDT and supported as part of the Pure product. At some point in the very long distant future, maybe all of MDT becomes part of Config Manager for ZTI and UDI deployments, but that might take a while.
It might take a while.
Because there is quite a bit there that would need to be moved over. But
there's a few things.
That's kind of the state of things at this point. If we were to look at this on the deployment side, you really won't see too much different. We can run the deployment wizard. We can choose our Windows 8.1 task sequence, and we can kick off a bare metal Windows 8.1 deployment. Join a domain, we can do user state migration, all the same stuff that we had before. So I'll kick that off. I think I had another one that was actually running before. Let's see if that one's done. Doing something. Ah, there it is. Just didn't refresh right. So my deployment here finished. If we click on finish, we can get into the new operating system. I think this is a Windows 8.1 deployment. You really won't see too much different as part of the OS deployment process itself. While we're using new tools, new version of MDT, new version of Config Manager, new version of the ADK, new version of Windows PE, new version of USMT, the functionality of them and the behaviors of them, most importantly, aren't really that different than what you were using before. So if you knew how to deploy Windows 7, you knew how to deploy Windows 8, now you know how to deploy Windows 8.1. Fairly easy to do. We look on the desktop, we can confirm that this is indeed Windows 8.1. This happens to be a preview build from one of the branches where all the new UI stuff has been taken out because that hasn't been shown publicly yet except for a few pieces that might have sneaked into the keynote this morning. So watch the video closely, you might see some things in there. But by the time the release preview comes out later this month, you'll be able to use this because MDT 2013, Config Manager 2012 R2 will all be released at the same time to support deploying this in your lab for you to try all this out and file feedback.
Exactly. Please feedback. All right, so that was a brief look. A quick pitch. The bolded item is my session Wednesday morning. Where I'll go into some more detail on specifically Config Manager OSD. So you'll see some of the new functionality there, as well as the current functionality with SP1. And these are some of the other Config Manager and Intune sessions that are going on. I'm going to skip through the next two slides really quickly because I don't think they updated the default deck that I uploaded. So if you look really quickly, you might see some stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with this session, unless you're going to Europe, and then I didn't get any slides, any stuff from Michael. But there are, as he said, there's lots of other deployment sessions that he's doing this week. So look at your things on your schedules on that. You can certainly find us throughout the conference for the rest of the week. Ask the Experts would be a great time to come ask questions, or right afterwards for a few minutes. Oh, all the default stuff. Oh, they actually added some stuff here. Okay. So you've got some sites you can go to, good stuff there, some nice eye candy here. Channel 9 is where you can get the session offline, more information, okay.
And fill out your evaluation.
Evals, yay evals. And I'll go forward if you scan you can scan the code, do your feedback via the mobile app. Please send feedback. It's a great way for us to know how the session went. If you loved it, if you thought it was great, you thought it was the greatest ever, that's really the only feedback that we're expecting, of course, because this, of course, is the best deployment session. But no, seriously, I mean, we are doing this again in Europe and other, other events. So your feedback's very important, and it's good to hear what you think. So please provide your feedback.
I know a lot of you are looking to run off to the expo, so we won't hold you. But if you do have any other questions related to MDT, Config Manager, OS deployment, Windows 8.1, we'll hang around up front as long as you continue to ask questions. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you all.